It is time to silence our electronic devices as we listen to Donna's prelude. That was absolutely beautiful. Donna, thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church on Veterans Day. It struck me that as we worship this morning, we will be going through a very important anniversary. It will be the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, exactly 100 years since the armistice was signed, ending World War I, the war that was to end all wars. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and much more blood has continued to be shed. Today, we honor those veterans among us and those who made the ultimate sacrifice during all those years since, and say our heartfelt thank you for your service to all of you and to your families. There are quite a few announcements this morning. Please read through them carefully. I'm just going to highlight a few of them. A new water heater was installed this week. Bob Malloy had the help of Cal, Dewey, Brad, Annette, Ronnie, Keith, Carol, and Pastor Cynthia, and he thanked them. The diaconate will be meeting after church this morning to discuss the details for setting up and serving of Thanksgiving dinner next Sunday. And if you are part of that group and can't attend, you should get in touch with Tammy Heck. We're all encouraged to bring a friend to worship that day and to stay for dinner. There are sign-up sheets for saying that you will attend, and also a sign-up sheet for a dish to bring and share. Consecration Sunday will also be next Sunday, so please bring your pledge card to put in the offering plate. I'd ask that you read the rest of the announcements about the Bell Choir starting on the 27th, about the Quilt of Valor that Raylan Heck will be presented with on the 18th at the VFW, made by the FCC-friendly quilters, about the raffle being held at the Iris Clubhouse, and about the Blanket Blitz being held next Saturday, the 17th. And also congratulations to Peg Jackson and Harriet Ames, who are going to be the new CWF co-chairs. And now I think that Mike Ward has some things to talk about. Be sure that you sign the friendship pad.
Mike is coming forward to present checks and certificates on behalf of the Pumpkin Patch. We are so excited that it was a great year. I would also invite the group representatives to come forward at this time from CWF and the Scouts. Mike and I carefully evaluated who worked how many shifts. 44% of the time spent in the patch was done by volunteers from the congregation. So this is still very much a church event. 23% of the shifts were worked by the preschool, 19% by the Boy Scouts, and 15% by the Cub Scouts. This means that each group will receive a share of the proceeds from the patch. Christian Women's Fellowship is receiving $315.50 for their baked good items. The Boy Scouts are receiving $1,015.92 as their share of the profit, the proceeds. In addition, they'll receive a patch management donation. The check for the Cub Scouts is $783.17. And the preschool, Annette Crane had planned on being here, but she's under the weather this morning. We've already transferred funds to them of $1,207.22. Congratulations to all of our groups. Additionally, the church will be sending a check for $1,000 as a gift to the Olivia Caldwell Foundation to help with pediatric cancer research. The final sales in the Pumpkin Patch was $22,901. In addition to the certificates Mike has, there is a photo from the patch that is a gift to him as a thank you for managing the patch this year. Thank you, Mike, so much for all of your hard work.
Thank you.
Now, before we sing hymn number 619, verses 1, 2, and 4, please stand and greet one another.
Yeah.
Please join me in the call to worship. When earth is lamenting, it takes courage to live with hope.
It takes courage to give ourselves away.
Come, Lord Christ, may your peace refresh our hearts.
May our lives be filled with singing.
May we live so God can use us.
May we live so God can use us in worship, in word, every day.
Our Father, we come to you, each of us finished with the week behind, with whatever joys, triumphs, sorrows, or failure that entailed. We know that here we can find your peace, your love, and your forgiveness as we begin a new week. We pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the choir for that presentation and to their pianist, Ethan, who needs to rush out to meet a school bus to head out on a trip. This morning, we want to take time to recognize all of our veterans, those in the congregation in active service, and those who have served in the past in the United States military. The National Guard dates its history to December 13, 1636, when actually the first national militia was formed on American soil. The United States Army began its history on June 14th, in 1775. Would any who have served in the National Guard or the United States Army please stand and remain standing? On October 13th, 1775, the United States Navy was formed. The United States Marine Corps traces its history to November 10th, also in 1775. And the United States Air Force was officially formed on September 18th, 1947, after having previously been known as the Army Air Corps. The Coast Guard dates its history to August 4th, 1790, but did not come into its full form until later when it was merged with the Lighthouse Guard. We give thanks for the proud history of each branch of the United States military, and we are eternally grateful for the service of those who have worn the uniform. We give you thanks and our deepest gratitude. Our hymn of praise today is from the hymnal number 614, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me. We'll sing it twice through the first verse. Our children are dismissed to go to Children's Church and worship in wonder at this time. A special morning has been prepared for them. As our children head out, I'd like to draw your attention to the last page of the bulletin where you'll find our prayer concerns listed. Our card shower today is for Dr. Badger. Over the next few weeks, we will have a card shower each morning for one of our older members who lives out of state. Dr. Badger's address is listed in the bulletin. He's recently moved to a new care facility in Loveland, Colorado, and you're encouraged to send him cards or letters. He enjoys hearing from people here in Casper. A joy to share, Bob Griffin, who lives next door to the church and is a local pastor who's helped with our sandwich ministry, is doing very well. We had had him on our prayer list following a major stroke. We're so thankful that he was able to receive immediate medical care and is suffering no long-lasting effects from that. Rita Peterson asks for your continued prayers for her daughter, Frankie, who is thankfully doing well. Our world concerns today include the missionary Bosela Eel, who serves in Kenya, victims of violence, and of course, our veterans. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Tongan Christian Church in Taylorsville, Utah, and their pastor, Himoni Uisi. If you were here for Fall Feast and you heard raucous piano playing that Sunday morning in worship, that was by Tavita Uisi. The pastor of the First Tongan Church is his father. And Pastor Tavita is the first ordained disciple Tongan minister. We're honored to have him in our region. You can sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary to send greetings. Are there others today that we need to lift in prayer, joys, or concerns to name? Paul. So prayers for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie White. We are thankful that her surgeon said no surgery is necessary. We rejoice in that. She will have a colonoscopy on November 21st to screen for colon cancer. And we pray that that will come back clear. Are there others today? Michelle.
I would like to pray for Bill and Becky Ostrander. They're in China right now, and they became instant parents about a week ago. And they're having ups and downs, like being parents and with Levi getting used to them and them getting used to Levi. But just pray for their travel home and that everything can work out.
We continue to pray for Phil and Becky and Levi as they get to know each other as family in China and for safe travels home. There were some really cute pictures of Levi on Facebook. We are so happy that they are together and pray for an adjustment for this wonderful little boy. Keith. We rejoice with Keith that he is employed after 4 years and has found work that is meaningful and has purpose in his life and connects with his interests. And we pray for balance as you try to find time for family and school and work. Something all of us need to pray for. Are there others today? Madison. Prayers for Madison, for her weight and her health. Prayers for Amber. She's really struggling today. She had a spinal tap on Friday to relieve some of the pressure, and we're waiting to hear back from the doctors about some exams on that fluid. Paul. We praise God that she has been cancer-free in spite of her family's history of cancer and continue to pray that that will last. There are others today. Debbie. Prayers for all of those who struggle with mental illness and a friend from the Sandwich Ministry who's struggling with depression. Jerry.
Yes, special prayers again for our active veterans, men and women out there that fight for this wonderful country.
Absolutely. Prayers for all of those are on active duty. Let us take a moment of silence together to center our hearts before the Lord as we pray. Great and glorious God, what a wonder it is, O Lord, that you watch over the whole world. Indeed, you watch the entire universe. Yet even with this vast vision of yours, O God, you see the most intimate details of our individual lives. And you invite us into personal relationship with you through Christ. O God of every nation, on this Veterans Day, we give thanks for the privilege of this nation, which we call home. Lord, as followers of Christ, the Prince of Peace, we long for the day when your reign of peace will come among all peoples, when the Hebrew prophets promise that our swords would be beaten to plowshares is fulfilled. But God, we name before you that that day has not yet come. And so we give thanks for the resources that allow a strong military. Lord, we pray for individual soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen who are in active duty now, who are serving at bases across this country and around the world. Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe when they are in harm's way. We pray for families who eagerly wait at home for the return of their brave loved ones. O God, on this day that marks 100 years since the end of the war to end all wars, we name before you the sinfulness of humanity that we continue to war with one another. We give thanks, O God, for every veteran who has served in times of peace and in times of conflict. For those who marched proudly off to defend our nation and for those who came home in body bags. O God, we pray for your peace. Lord, we name before you that the scars some veterans carry are buried deep within their psyche and hidden from the world. For self-preservation, O God, there are nightmares of the battlefield that they will never name to their families. But Lord, you know what they saw. In our prayers for veterans, O God, we are moved all the more to fervently pray for peace and justice in the world. Lord, we humbly thank you for the privilege of being American citizens, for the freedom to go to the poll and vote, for the rights and responsibilities we have to each be engaged in civic work. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all leaders of this nation. We pray that you would bless with wisdom our president, the members of Congress, the heads of the military, those in civil service, and those entrusted with the weighty responsibility of working together in spite of differences to achieve what is best for every citizen of this great land. Lord, there are awesome resources that you have placed in the control of America. And so we also have a responsibility for the welfare of others in the world. On this Veterans Day, O God, we stand humbled before you, marveling at the courage of those who have answered yes to a call to arms when it was needed. We pray for the future of this great land and for the responsibilities that each of us have as members of one nation under you, O God. O Christ, the mighty healer, we pray for healing for all of those who know wounds. Wounds to the psyche and soul. We pray for healing for those who struggle with mental illness, especially a woman who came to the Sandwich Ministry following a major depressive episode. We pray, O God, for those who need physical healing. We pray for those who need balance in their life and healthy patterns of living. We rejoice with Keith at his new job and ask, O God, that everyone who struggles to find time to balance school and work and family would be able to do so. We pray for Madison. Lord, that you will help her make the life changes she needs to make. To walk, to move, to swim, to exercise, to eat in a healthy way. To be at peace within herself so that her life, too, regains balance. Lord, we pray for those who struggle with weight and suffer health consequences because of it. God, we lift to you prayers of thanksgiving that Bob Griffin is doing well, and we pray for others who suffer from the effects of stroke. Watch over Rita Peterson and her daughter Frankie. Be with Melanie when she has her colonoscopy later this month. God, we pray for a clear cancer screening. We ask you to watch over Amber. Lord, her health continues to deteriorate. She continues to struggle with one symptom after another, and the doctors have not yet found an answer. God, we pray for your miracle of healing to come upon her life. We thank you for all the tests that the doctors have run, and we pray that this week she will have an answer that leads to treatment, that leads to your gift of healing. Lord, the world in which we live needs healing and hope. We need the good news of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we give you thanks for Pastor Tavita and his father, Pastor Isi, who lead the First Tongan Christian Church in Taylorsville, Utah. We ask your blessing upon Bosela Eel, who serves as a missionary in Kenya, and others who proclaim Christ from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. On this morning, God, a little part of our hearts is in China with Phil and Becky and Levi. We pray for a four-year-old Chinese boy who has just met his new mom and dad, who doesn't understand the language they speak but understands the kindness that they are sharing. We thank you for the joy Levi has experienced in gifts and favorite food, and we pray that your love, which transcends spoken word, will surround Levi and calm him on the long flight home to Casper. Be with Phil and Becky as their parenting adventure begins. O God of all the world, you know the prayers that are in our hearts, even those that we cannot form into words. We humbly thank you for listening when we pray and for calling us to be a part of your answer to prayer. In Christ's name, amen.
Are you busy planning Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners? Do you serve traditional dishes or their more modern counterparts? I haven't made much progress in that regard. I still like the cranberry and stuffing and sweet potatoes like my mother made. It really doesn't matter, though. As our local food expert, Sally Ann, says, it's not what's on the table, it's who is at the table. At our communion table, everyone is welcome to come and share our Lord's Supper. There is a place for you here. We'll now sing the communion hymn. Here is bread.
Page 161 in the Purple Book. It doesn't matter what's on the table as much as who is at the table. Here at the table today, Christ is with us. And each and every one who is gathered in this place is invited to share in the Lord's Supper, to take the bread and the cup as they are passed. We recall the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Almighty God, as we gather around this, your table, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our eyes, ears, hearts, and very life again in your presence, so that we may worship you and serve you in faithfulness. As we enter into the season of Thanksgiving, May we be mindful of the sacrifice Jesus made as he suffered and died on the cross at Calvary for each of us. And as we partake of the bread and the cup, may our hearts be full of peace and love, giving thanks for Christ's ultimate sacrifice and for your eternal love in raising him from the dead. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hello, I'm Chris Dorsey, President of Higher Education and Leadership Ministries for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Alexander Campbell once said that colleges and churches go hand in hand in advancing Christian civilization. It is that idea, it is that vision that has propelled disciples across the generations to found colleges, universities, and theological institutions all around the country. HELM represents the continuance of this legacy of faith, education, and leadership development that is central to the disciples' tradition. We work with wider church partners and higher education partners to develop and nurture leaders who will transform church, society, and world. There are 14 colleges and universities affiliated with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. They are Barton College in Wilson, North Carolina, Bethany College in Bethany, West Virginia, Chapman University in Orange, California. They are Barton College in Wilson, North Carolina, Bethany College in Bethany, West Virginia, Chapman University in Orange, California, Columbia College in Columbia, Missouri, Culver Stockton College in Canton, Missouri, Drury University in Springfield, Missouri, Eureka College in Eureka, Illinois, Hiram College in Hiram, Ohio, Jarvis Christian College in Hawkins, Texas, Lynchburg College in Lynchburg, Virginia, Midway University in Midway, Kentucky, Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky, and William Woods University in Fulton, Missouri. Congregations and individuals who give generously to Disciples Mission Fund and the Thanksgiving offering support religious life programming and direct student financial aid for students on Disciples College campuses all around the country. We also have a very rich tradition of supporting theological education through our Disciples Theological Institutions. Our theological institutions are Bright Divinity School in Texas, Christian Theological Seminary in Indiana, Lexington Theological Seminary in Kentucky, Phillips Theological Seminary in Oklahoma, Disciples Divinity House of the University of Chicago, Disciples Divinity House at Vanderbilt University Divinity School, and Disciples Seminary Foundation in California. The world we live in today is very different from 19th century America. What remains true, however, is that our communities of faith, combined with our institutions of higher education, remain our best assets in helping society rise to the challenges we face and build a better world. After all, Alexander Campbell's vision is about advancing the kingdom. Thank you for your generous support of Disciples Mission Fund and the Thanksgiving offering in particular. Together, we really can develop and nurture future leaders who will transform church, society, and the world.
Thank you, Father, for these gifts we return to you and for all the gifts that you bestow upon us. May these gifts serve you wherever they are needed in this world. Amen.
And I will be reading from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8. You'll find that in your chalice hymnal on page 738. I was going to read it from the Bible, but then I guess I'll do this. Okay.
There's a sung refrain, and Donna will play the line once for us to hear, and then we will sing the sung refrain, read responsibly, and every time there's a bold R, we'll repeat the refrain.
A mighty forest is our God, a bulwark never failing. In you, O God, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, faithful God.
You made those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in you.
I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my afflictions.
Thank you, Peg and Donna, for your assistance with that scripture. For four Sundays, there is a bulletin insert entitled Live Courageously. It comes to us from our stewardship team as part of an annual theme, preparing us next Sunday to make a commitment to pledge to the church in 2019 our financial support. This is the third week for those inserts. This year's theme comes from both Psalm 31, part of which we have heard, and from 1 Timothy. I draw your attention to the last verse of Psalm 31. 31:24 says, "Be strong, let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Be strong and take courage. 1 Timothy chapter 6 includes these verses. "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, we long to take hold of the life that truly is life. We long to embrace eternal life with you and fullness of life now. Give us courage when we fall short of that calling. O Holy One, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be strong and take courage. Courage seems to me an appropriate theme for Veterans Sunday for this year, when Veterans Day actually falls on Sunday morning. For this year that marks 100 years since the end of World War I. There are many stories we could hear of courage from soldiers and sailors, airmen and Marines. We could hear stories of valor from those who have received the Medal of Honor, our nation's highest distinction. We could also hear stories of courage from the men in the trenches whose stories have gone unheard through the years. The regular Joe who ended up fighting beside his comrades just to keep the homeland safe. This morning, I'd like to share a story that perhaps you have heard before of a man named Desmond Doss. He's one of the more unusual recipients of the Field of Honor, the Medal of Honor, because he was considered by the Army to be a conscientious objector. Desmond Doss was drafted during World War II. But because of his religious convictions, he refused to hold a rifle. When he was growing up as a boy, his father had a poster, a framed artistic display of the Ten Commandments in the boy's bedroom. So Desmond says every year of his life, every day of his life, he looked up and saw the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And so because of his deep conviction to follow Christ, he took that personally. And yet he was conflicted, for he felt that World War II was indeed a just cause, a fight that our nation needed to enter for the sake of the world. So Desmond Doss enlisted in the Army. The Army didn't quite know what to do with him. He went through basic training. He served for a while in Guam and the Philippines. He requested at first to be a field medic. He had a medical background and wanted to serve in that way, but as often happens, the United States Army in its infinite wisdom said, "You don't get to pick your job, we'll tell you what to do." After trying for years to get this soldier to hold a rifle and realizing it was futile, they finally let him become a field medic. It was in Okinawa that the most familiar part of his story took place. The unit he was with was under heavy fire. Desmond Doss rigged ropes to help American soldiers scale a mighty cliff to escape from fire. In the presentation of the Medal of Honor, President Truman said that he rescued 75 men under heavy fire. Desmond Doss had the courage that many soldiers have to serve in battle. He had additional courage in that because of his convictions as a follower of Christ. Early on in his military service, he survived the ridicule of those who did not understand his conviction. It's not surprising that initially there were some in his unit who thought he was a coward. It was only later that they saw his courage on full display when he saved their lives. There are countless stories of courage from those who have served in the military, who know what it is to be in harm's way. Courage does not mean you know no fear. Courage means when you are afraid, you act anyway. to do what is right and what must be done. Another story of courage from World War II comes to us from Poland, the story of a civilian. Irena Sendler, or Sendlerova, was a social worker. Her heart was broken as she watched Nazis round up her Jewish neighbors. In the community of Warsaw, a ghetto was formed where all Jews were forced to live in confined, horrid conditions. Irena managed to have a pass for medical care to those who were sick or suffering. She took advantage of the privilege of being able to drive an ambulance into the ghetto to smuggle children out under the watchful eye of Nazi guards. On more than one occasion, she hid children under a stretcher and hauled them out by that ambulance. She cooperated with the Polish underground to smuggle over 2,500 Jewish children to places of safety. At great personal risk, she would hide these little ones under blankets and tarps, in trolleys and carts, in trunks, one time even using a dog to help her distract guards and smuggle children to safety. Irena wrote every child's name and their family on a tiny piece of tissue paper that she placed in a jar and buried in her backyard. The children were adopted by Christian families, and some were smuggled out of the country. But Irena always made sure everyone understood when the war is over, they were to be reunited with any living relatives. Eventually, her work came to light, and she was captured by the Nazis. They wanted her to give up the names of those in the Polish underground who had helped her smuggle children, and she refused. Both of her legs and her feet were broken, but she never revealed the names of the children or their locations that only she knew. What courage that took. And then there's the story of a disciple missionary named Minnie Vautrin. In 1937, the Japanese invaded mainland China. Because of cultural norms at the time, horrific violence was part of that invasion. Japanese soldiers were not just permitted, but in fact encouraged by their superior officers to massacre and rape any civilians that they encountered. Minnie Vautrin was a disciple of Christ missionary, president of a college serving in education. She and four other missionaries were encouraged to return to the United States for safety when the massacre of Nanking, then the capital of China, was taking place. But the missionaries refused to leave their Chinese neighbors. Many became known as the Angel of Nanjing because of the safety she provided for her Chinese students and their families. The stories of courage we could share on this Veterans Day are long indeed. I imagine that there are some sitting in our midst who have their own personal stories of courage under fire. But sometimes just life itself takes courage. Sometimes you're up against something you just can't handle. The weight is too great. It's then that you know how strong your faith is. Psalm 31 tells us to be of good courage, be strong, let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. When we trust in Christ, we know that whatever heartache comes our way, we are not alone. And so even when we are afraid, we do what we must to face life through that fear and find courage greater than our own. It took a different kind of courage recently for a Casper family to do what needed to be done. Little Jace was swimming at a birthday party. when he tragically suffered a drowning accident. He was life-flighted from Casper to the University of Children's Hospital in Denver. And it was there that his family found the courage to take Jace off life support and to donate his organs so that six other children would have fullness of life. Sometimes even just having that conversation about organ donation, it takes courage. Do your children know what you want to happen when you die? Does your spouse, your parent, your best friend, your closest family member, does that one know what your wishes are if you're in a car accident and utterly capacitated? What would happen? You think you're afraid to talk about it, but how much worse would it be for your loved ones not to know what your wishes are? Find the courage to have those hard conversations and share with those who are closest to you what your wishes are for your final hours on earth, whenever they may come. It takes courage to seek deep truth. In an age where news flashes across the screen in pithy sound bites, it takes courage to engage in deep conversation with those on the other side of the aisle. Not on the other side of the aisle of church, but on the other side of the aisle in Congress or City Hall. All of us have neighbors who see things differently than we do. But instead of yelling at each other, we need the courage to listen to one another, to recognize that we have different perspectives, but we want the same thing: a world that is healthy and whole, a nation that is strong, a community that is thriving and at peace. It takes courage to live with integrity. There are times for young people it takes courage to stand up to bullying. It takes courage to speak out when injustice has happened. It can even take courage to interact in a relationship that is not healthy. If you're in a relationship that is more hurtful than helpful, perhaps you need a break. Perhaps you need to find a safe place, someone to help you find healthy ways to interact with others. Even just naming such things takes great courage. And as Christians, our courage comes from the Lord. Such it was for Timothy, the young man who followed Paul into the missionary field. His courage is memorialized each time a congregation names a young person who goes into ministry as one of their Timothys. This week, we'll be posting a new photo of Elaine Gross's son, Brian, who serves as an Episcopal deacon. He is one of the Timothys of our congregation, and he has found the courage to answer God's call. Where in your life do you need courage this week? Do you need courage to have a hard conversation? Do you need courage to step closer to God, who may be asking you to do something challenging? Do you need courage to give more generously than you ever have before? Next Sunday, each of us who are members of the congregation are asked to bring our pledge card for the coming year, to commit ourselves to support God's work in this place. Even giving takes courage. It's easy to be fearful for the future and think we need to hold tight to every dollar we've ever earned to take care of ourselves or our kids or our grandkids. Yet ultimately, everything we have comes to us from God. And so when we have courage in Christ, we know that we can trust the Lord and let go and give. Give away a part of ourselves, give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. We are challenged this year to live courageously, to live generously. 1 Timothy chapter 6 includes this verse that says, "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It takes courage to count more on God than on ourselves. Paul continues writing, "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." In a day when social media tries to tell us what's real, it takes courage to turn off that screen and really live. Engage in conversation. Love your children. Spend time in nature. Pray. Read the Bible. Take hold of the life that really is life. Live deeply. Drink deeply of God's love. And find the courage you need to take hold of eternal life with Christ. Amen. Our final hymn today is Stand Up for Jesus. You'll find it on page 613 in the hymnal. We'll sing the first and last verses, and if there's anyone looking for a church home, you're invited to come forward as we sing. In Fellowship Hall downstairs, there's cookies and refreshments, coffee, a chance for us to visit with one another. Greet someone you don't know today and get acquainted with someone else who is here. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God of grace and glory, give us the courage we lack to live life fully. We thank you for the service of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Send us forth in the name of Christ to live, to love, to serve. Amen.
surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees?